Welcome to those of you who are online. Glad that you can be with us here for this portion of our worship service. We started the service beginning by saying that we're here to focus on Jesus. It is always all about Jesus until he returns, and then it'll still be all about Jesus. And so let's pray. Lord, we seek a blessing. As much as we come here to worship you, and we do, as much as we log on to a Zoom call to worship you and give you the attention, it's amazing that we can also come and simultaneously seek a blessing, because that's the God that you are. You are the God who shares himself, and you are full of blessing. And this is the year when you share, the time of year when you remind us that you share that blessing with others. The blessing of yourself. So, Lord, we're here to celebrate you. We're here to remind ourselves of your greatness. We're here to remind you of your greatness. Lord, as we have heard these readings that constantly focus on the theme of coming home to you, may that be real for us again this year, in this Advent season. It is a time of coming home to you and finding that the blessings that you give us as you make space for us and as we make space for you are incredible. They are far beyond anything we could have asked or imagined, because that's what you are. And so, Lord, we praise you. Lord, I seek a blessing for those in our congregation, our friends, and our family who are grieving or who are struggling at this time of year, whether it's with loss, whether it's with lack of hope, whether it's with things that they can't even name. I seek a blessing for them. So Lord, we together seek blessings for our friends and family at this time of year. Would you make yourself known to them in the same ways that you made yourself known to the shepherds? In something real, powerful, tangible. When you talk to the shepherds through your angels, you say there's a gift coming your way. Go find it. Lord, would you pour out your blessings, and may they be found and received this year by our brothers and sisters who are in need. I seek a blessing. Lord, I seek a blessing for our congregation, both here in person and online, as we open your scriptures. Your scriptures are first of all a blessing, and we give you thanks and praise for them. The way that you have revealed yourself to your people, the way that we can come to your scriptures and once again have our world recalibrated around who you are and the way that you have revealed yourself. The way that we can take the assumptions that we have about how you work and come back and see the truth of how you have worked and continue to work. So Lord, as we come to your scriptures, may you make us pliable, make us moldable, make us teachable. Lord, as we talk about the ways that you speak and act, would you fill us once again with you? May we not be satisfied with yesterday's filling. And may we not simply anticipate some future filling. May it be here in the moment. Because you are a God who continues to give himself to his people. What a wonderful God you are, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. So Lord, open our eyes to see the truth in your word. Open our ears to the words you are currently speaking to us. Open our hearts to Jesus wider and wider every day. May it be for your praise and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm probably going to use my tea a little bit more than normal this morning. Okay. We're in the Advent season. As we've talked about many times, Advent is that season where we put ourselves in the position of people who lived BC, before Christ. We put ourselves in the position of people who were waiting for the Messiah so that we can learn an anticipation that they had for what is next, for what was coming, for what had been promised to them. It's a good discipline to enter into. There's actually more than one thing that the people of Israel were waiting for, however, and it wasn't simply the Messiah. There were other promises that they had been given that they were waiting to see fulfilled and that weren't even fulfilled in Jesus, but he said were coming next. And we should spend some time putting ourselves in their position as well, because we have lived with the reality of what has been given for so long that we've actually taken it for granted. And so what I would like to do is take you back to that first reality of what it is that they were waiting for. Not only were they waiting for the Messiah, they were waiting for God himself. And the Messiah was never thought to be God himself. So that isn't heresy when I say that. Okay, that they never expected the Messiah to be God himself. Okay? But they were waiting for God himself in another way. Would you go with me to the book of Joel? If you hit Psalms or Isaiah as you open your Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. If you opened up your Bible and you hit Matthew, go left. You will find Joel. It's only three chapters long, so it's easy to skip over. It's also nothing to be ashamed of if you have to use the table of contents at the beginning of your Bible. The book of Joel, chapter 2, talks about something that they were waiting for. And in Joel, chapter 2, they are promised this for the first time. The Lord has been speaking in these verses about how he has been repairing the city and repairing the land that was absolutely devastated. It was devastated by locusts, and then it was devastated by armies. But God says, I'm going to give you even more than the repair work that you will need in order to be a flourishing city once again. Because you can be a functional city and be quite prosperous, but if you don't have me within it, it's not good enough. And so what he says in chapter 28 is in response, or in verse 28, is in response to that promise of, I'm going to rebuild this place for you people, but I'm going to do something even better, even beyond that. He says, after we have rebuilt this place, and after you are once again prosperous, and the oil is flowing in Alberta once again, you know, something like that, he says, then afterwards, I will pour out my spirit, myself, on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And I want you to pause for a moment there. Do you know what that means? It means that Joel is promising them that one day they won't have to look wherever they can look for a prophet to hear from God for a change. Put yourself in their position. Practice Advent, but with this topic instead. Put yourself in the position of people who only get to hear from God on special holy days when they go and have hear scriptures read, or when they can manage to find a prophet because they don't have God's presence with them. Can you imagine? Have we lived for so long and taken this for granted that God puts his presence in us, and not just his presence, but his audible presence? As he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will learn to hear my voice. All of you. One day, he says, that's going to happen. Your sons and your daughters will learn to hear my voice and will learn to speak it. Your old men will, in that day, one day, your old men and your old women will dream dreams. What's dream dreams mean? It means that one day all of the people in the land will be able to receive the communications that God wants to give to all of them, not just to one particular special individual. But at night, when God has their full attention because they're unconscious, he's going to be sending messages to all of the people of the land, all of you, and you're not going to need some special holy person. One day, your young men shall see visions. So your young people, when you're awake, God's still going to be giving you images and pictures. He's still going to be wanting to communicate with his people. You're not going to need some intermediary. You're not going to need some mediator. You're not going to need some special person who's learned to hear God because you can't. One day, you'll all be able to, Joel says. And notice that it's the old and the young. The old had status in those days. It's the opposite for us, right? We glorify and validate youth. In our culture, we dismiss the older people, sadly. It was the reverse in theirs. But he said, regardless, both young and old, those with status and those with no status, I'm not going to differentiate. All of them are going to be able to hear me. All of them are going to have access to the one true God. Access to the one true God whenever they want. Even on my male and female slaves, and you know that the female had no status in these days, right? Very little. But the female slave was sort of the least amount of status in Joel's days. And Joel promises a day, God promises a day through Joel, when it doesn't matter who you are, no one is excluded anymore from being able to hear the voice of God in those days. One day, he says, in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And you know what? I think I lived most of my Christian life in sort of the Joel 2 days. In the days of one day, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, when we all sing Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory, and we'll finally get to talk. And I'll finally be able to hear his response. That's the space I lived for most of my adult, Christian, even pastoral life, was saying, one day I will get to hear God. And I didn't actually take the full implications of the scriptures here. Because this one day that Joel is looking forward to is fulfilled. So let's go to Acts 2. I don't hear a lot of page turning out there, which means you're all scrolling on your phones. Is that right? Or you are anticipating where I would go. Acts 2. We're going to start at verse 1. Jesus has just ascended to the Father, and he's told his disciples to wait in the city until I send you the gift that has been promised. He says, you will be baptized in the Spirit. That's Acts 1, verse 5, not many days from now. So skip ahead to chapter 2 of verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house, and they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem at this time. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard in the native language of each, or heard them speaking in the native language of each. And amazed and astonished, they asked, are not these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya and Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, that means a convert to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, but what does this mean? God pours out his Spirit on a whole group of people who are anticipating his coming. And they start prophesying and they start telling about what God has just done in Jesus. Did they do it sort of stone-faced and rather quietly? No, they did it in such a way that those who are observing what they have just received and the response that they cannot help but display looks to the outsider like drunkenness. Look at the next verse. But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. Have you been so touched and filled? Have you ever had such joy poured into you by the Holy Spirit that you cannot help but glow? And the only people around you who have never experienced God like that can only liken it to something they have seen in a pub or at a party, because you are so filled with joy. And they have no categories for it except what they've seen at a party. This is actually not even the only New Testament reference where it very much likens when God pours himself into another person, that what it produces is such joy and such exuberance and life that it gets mistaken for something else. And Ephesians 5 mentions that as well. I remember talking to one of our council members one time, and he said, drunkenness must be the counterfeit of a filling of God's Spirit. The counterfeit of a filling of God's Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It should look like joy, friends. When we actually encounter Jesus through the Spirit, it should bring joy in life. And it did here, and some people mistake it for something else because they have no categories for God pouring himself out in this way and it bringing such power in life. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them and said, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken through the prophet Joel. He's going to make 3 changes. And interestingly, Peter had the authority to do that. He's going to make 3 changes to the verses we just read from Joel. And I will point them out to you in a minute. Joel says, in those days. Instead, Peter says, in the last days, it will be. Because they're now in the last days. With Jesus coming, we are all now in the last days. There's no more future days ahead that are different than the last days. We are in the last days until Christ returns. This is the start of the last days. It started then. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will learn to listen to the voice of God and will learn to speak it for others. Your young men shall learn. Your young men shall see the pictures that God gives them as a communication to them. And maybe it's for someone else too. All of the young people are going to learn to see what God shows them. All of them. Because he says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Even your old men shall dream dreams. All of the older people, young, old, like it's just parallelism, right? This is for everyone. Everyone can have a dream from the Lord. Even my slaves, both men and women, and that's the second change. My slaves. Joel just said, even on the slaves. But God says, no, those people are mine because I poured out my Spirit on them. They're now mine. You're mine. And that's why you're going to get to hear me. God says, even on my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. And here's the last thing that Peter adds that Joel didn't have, is that last line. He repeats it, and they shall prophesy. In the last days, when the Spirit comes, which Peter says, It just started, friends, here at Pentecost. Everyone is going to learn to hear the voice of God and share it with others. This is for everyone. That's what Peter says. It's for all of us. It's not for the guy on the stage. It's not for the people we've labeled as prophets. It's for all of us. High, low, men, women, old, young, regardless of class, regardless of status, regardless of experience, regardless of how long you've been a Christian. No Cadu got baptized and was prophesying within like a few hours, basically. Because it doesn't take long. Because it's not about you. It's about God and what he can do. And he is teaching people to learn to hear his voice. Give me 1 second here. You're learning to hear his voice and you're putting up with mine. I've been thinking a lot about design lately. The design of the church, the design of the people within the church, the design of what it is that God had intended for us, both individually and then as a body. And I come back to passages like this, and we are designed for two things. Yeah, sorry. In baseball, we always do two. Sorry. Two things. We are designed to be filled. Read the passage. We are designed to be filled, and we are told to be filled a number of times in the New Testament. Whatever measure of the Lord that you have right now is not your capacity. We are designed to be filled to overflowing, and we are designed to hear. We are designed to see. So if you have lived your whole Christian life the way that I lived my whole Christian life, of in the Joel 2 space of one day in the distant future, when I meet Jesus, then we'll actually have good conversations. But for now, I don't really hear from him, except when I read scripture, which is not what this is talking about. If you lived your life like I did in that space, I invite you to come to Pentecost. And I invite Pentecost to come to you. Because we live post-Pentecost, but for some of us, we've been living like we are still pre-Pentecost. Does that make sense? We're designed. You were designed to hear from God. He is the God who by nature speaks, and we are the people who by nature are designed to listen. When we went to, Joel and Sandra and I went to Carl and Crystal Newman's place shortly after they were finishing it off and just moving in, and they just built this new home, and they'd asked us to come and pray a blessing, and as we'd finished praying the blessing over the home, and we were just chatting outside their place, and Carl was showing us about how Marco had installed this satellite dish on the top of their house so that they could get better internet. And this dish has a couple of different positions, and you can control it with a remote or your phone or something like that. And it takes a certain position when there's bad weather. It sort of closes itself up. It's almost like turtling in a way. It's like going into its shell kind of thing. I think you guys have this too. Is that right? Yeah. And then there's a different position to be wide open to receive the signal. And I think a lot of us, like myself, lived in that closed position, like Joel 2, not actually recognizing that there's a signal that can come because God's been sending it the whole time, but I've been in the wrong position because I assumed I couldn't receive. And friends, the good news is that the Bible actually tells you you can receive. But we have to be open to it. We have to be filled. We have to anticipate that God is going to speak to us. We should actually put our heads on the pillow at night, anticipating that I might be one of these old men tonight who gets a dream from God. If I don't anticipate that, I'm not likely to recognize it. We might want to anticipate that during the day, there's going to be a picture that comes to mind that God sends because he wants to communicate with you. We should go through our day expecting that there are going to be words dropped in or impressions that God gives or a nudge or a direction or something like that. And the more that we expect and anticipate, the more we will recognize that God is actually speaking. And the more in position your satellite dish will get to the signal as you learn to recognize the voice of God. And it takes time. But friends, I want to tell you, and I guess the only other way I can think of is that the future's here as of Acts 2. We're not in that Joel 2 space anymore. The future is currently here. And the future is currently here, not in the abstract sense of Acts 2 has passed and we're now living in those last days and so on, but like the future's here in terms of God is actually speaking to this community with words like this, like old men dreaming dreams and young men seeing visions and old and young receiving the Spirit and then speaking. We've been sharing recently about, actually, I can think of a number of people who've come up to me in the last number of weeks or called me or sent me a note and said, I'm hearing something. I didn't know I could get that. I didn't know I could get that signal. Like, yeah, I remember being in that space too. And it was so depressing to me and so frustrating when someone else would get a signal and say, I heard from the Lord, and be like, what's wrong with me? I just hadn't sort of learned to open up and tune in. And a number of people have said, teach me more. I'm like, well, you're doing the right things. Just keep at it. Learn to recognize. Learn to test it. And, you know, we've shared a number of times in the last couple of weeks that there were three people on a Thursday evening prayer, maybe 2 months back, that all heard the same word from God during listening time. Heard it and then shared it following the listening time. And Joel came up and shared it. It was, the Lord said, I am coming to fill unity. You need to empty yourselves. And three different people heard that. We had prayer time this past week again. And this time it was four different people who heard very, very similar things from the Lord when we shared it. Four. And they weren't the same four as the three from the previous one. More people are learning to listen. So let me just share those words with you. The first one came from someone who just prayed about being our being in this position of, do you remember the parable of the 10 virgins who are waiting for the wedding to start? And they have oil. And five of them brought extra oil with them and five of them didn't. Five of them only had enough for their lamp. And praying that in this expectation of the Lord is coming to do something, but we have to be ready, which is the purpose of that parable. The Lord is coming to do something here. We have to be ready. We need a readiness. And then the next person shares and says, you know, the word faithful. God keeps talking to me to be faithful. That's very much what that parable is about. And the third person speaks up and says, you know, the word steadfast just kept coming to mind as we were listening. How close are steadfast and faithful, right? These are synonyms, right? And then the last person says, it's funny, I didn't hear a word. What I saw was a picture of a woman's wedding ring. Parable of a waiting for a wedding combined with faithfulness and steadfastness and a wedding ring. God is coming to do something, friends. The future is here because God is speaking to his people in this way, and people are learning to listen. They're learning to recognize it. It's some of you. It's more of you every week. Good for you. You're learning to listen. You're learning to take that satellite dish and get it into position. And it takes time. And I get it. And I personally have a lot of years, in my opinion, a lot of years of unlearning to do in that of living in the Joel 2 space instead of the Acts 2 space, right? Instead of I have a lot of unlearning to do of just anticipating that one day I will have great conversations with Jesus when we meet face to face, rather than that he is the God who currently speaks, as Hebrews 12 says. We serve a God who is currently speaking. And we just need to get that satellite dish into the right position. So can we just say from now on, no more Joel 2, one day? We're not going to talk that way anymore. He is currently speaking to us as a congregation. He's currently speaking to you as an individual. And it's our responsibility to learn to recognize it, even to anticipate it. So like I said, put your head on the pillow tonight and actually expect that God might give you a dream. And don't expect it to be like wildly HD, knock you out of your bed, wake you up and make you go, oh, that must have been God. No, they're often much more subtle. As our visions, it's often just a picture. But if you expect a picture and then you weigh it, you're going to hear more from God. You really will. Let's take a moment and practice listening. Right? So don't say, here are the things that I now need to remember to carry into my week. Say, Lord, what do I need to hear from your word and from what you have said this morning? Take a moment. The future is now here, friends. And if you lean into this word, Acts 2, and put your name beside those verses, it will absolutely change your life. The joy that you will experience as you hear from the Lord and he speaks personally to you will be like nothing you have ever experienced. The intimacy and friendship that you will have with Jesus, it has forever changed my life, and it will change yours, because God is not satisfied with living in the box, right? He wasn't satisfied with living in the temple. He wasn't satisfied with just living, you know, in a corner. He wasn't satisfied with any, he is not satisfied with anything less than pouring himself out onto you so that you learn to experience the joy and the life that he has to offer you. And it comes through interaction with him. I came that they may have life and have it to the full, Jesus says. And he says, it's better for you if I leave, because I will send the Spirit. And most people think it would be way better if Jesus were sitting on this stool next to me right now. And Jesus says, no. It's not. It would not be better for you to have Jesus on your couch if you are at home. It would not be better for you to have Jesus on the stool or Jesus next to you in the pew. It's not. According to Jesus, it's better if he pours out his Spirit on you and you learn to receive what he is speaking. That's better for you. That's better for your world. That's better for your non-Christian friends. That's better for your family that you pray for. That's better for the way that you raise your kids. It's better for this neighborhood. Friends, if you learn to listen, he will pour himself out like you have no idea. It will absolutely change your life, and you will have joy and peace like you have never experienced. He promised that. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. What's the next one? Joy. What's the next one? Peace. Yeah, you want that? You want it for your friends? Learn to hear his voice, because he will speak peace to you. He will speak joy to you. He will produce that in you like you have never experienced, friends. End of rant. I'm going to pray. We're going to have some kids come up on this stage in a moment. Lord, I am in awe, just absolutely in awe of who you are. I remember driving home months ago from this church, and you just said, I am sharing myself with my people. Thank you. I never deserved it. I never deserved to get you. And you give and you give and you give. It's incredible. And the way that you share yourself with us during times where it's just doing the dishes or vacuuming or driving, that it's not even just in a worship service, but that you come to share each part of our lives, that you will speak into moments not only of grief, but into moments of just boredom and downtime and sleep. And the way that you share yourself, Lord, I'm just in awe and I praise you. I thank you for the ways that you are speaking to this community. I thank you for what you show us in your word, that you are not satisfied with anything less than pouring yourself out and tuning us into you. Lord, make us receptive, make us responsive to what you are doing. Lord, would you tune us in? Do whatever work you have to do in us and help us to do whatever work we have to do to empty ourselves so that you may fill us. Make us faithful. Make us holy for the sake of hospitality, for the sake of more of you. We anticipate you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace and joy and more of his voice and more of himself. I bless you. Thanks for being here. Bye to those who are online.